12 years already with our radio project, and at the end of the year, that will be 35 years in Tucson television and radio. The Buckmaster Show, broadcasting from the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio, the radio station 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice for trusted news and talk. We have our worldwide live listening where we archive all of our programs that we've done in the past almost 12 years. And of course, you can listen live at buckmastershow.com, where we piggyback the live feed from kvoi.com. When we do our telephone interviews, there are a couple of them during the hour today. The Buckmaster Show Live Line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go now on the live line to Phoenix. Two-term Arizona Corporation Commissioner Chris Mays. Chris served on the ACC from 2003 to 2010. She's a former press secretary for former Governor Janet Napolitano, former reporter for the Arizona Republic. Chris Mays joining us on the live line. Chris, how are you?
I'm great, Bill. How are you doing? Good to be with you again.
It's always a pleasure. How is your run for Arizona Attorney General, Democrat, going? It seems like there's a very stark contrast between you and your Republican opponent.
Yeah, there really is. I think you couldn't put it any better than that, Bill. I am running for Attorney General to be the lawyer for the people of Arizona, all of Arizonans, whether you're a Republican, Democrat, or independent. We've got to get back to basics and the core mission of the Attorney General's office. We've got to stop politicizing this office the way it has been over the last 4 years. And I'm, you know, running to prosecute consumer fraud, protect Arizonans from crime, go after our fentanyl crisis and try to tackle that, prosecute elder abuse and take care of our water supplies. I'm actually coming to you today, Bill, from Vicksburg, Arizona, over in La Paz County, where we're talking to people who are just outraged by the fact that the Arizona State Land Department is allowing a Saudi-owned corporation to grow alfalfa and send it back to Saudi Arabia and use our water, and we're giving it to them for free. So that's the kind of thing that I would be a watchdog on, and we've got to put an end to when I'm Attorney General. But my opponent, you know, he's talking about decertifying the 2020 election, and he seems to want to just be Donald Trump's lawyer. That's not acceptable.
You got to wonder about your opponent's experience.
Yeah, you know, I mean, he's been out of law school for a couple of years now, only three or four years. It's, you know, and that's just not enough experience. You know, I think, you know, he prosecuted a few low-level cases, a couple perhaps, in his career. More troubling are some of the things that he has said. He made 3,000 anti-Semitic and sexist comments on a Ron Paul message board, admitted to voter fraud himself, even though he's trying to undermine trust in our voting system, and has said that the 2020 election was rigged. Of course, that's ridiculous and outrageous. And he wants to get rid of and put an end to vote by mail, Bill. And, you know, I'll tell you one thing. I promise Arizonans we are going to keep vote by mail. 90% of us vote by mail, and we do it well, and we've done it well since 1992.
Yeah, I mean, the percentage keeps growing every year. Like you say, 9 out of 10 voters do cast their ballot. They like to go over it at the kitchen table or wherever, and they like to put it together at their pace, and then vote that way. And you're saying he would take it away? Wants to take it away?
He wants to eliminate vote by mail. Yeah, and that's not okay. You know, and of course, you know, the people who are actually hurt the most are our elderly. You know, they need vote by mail. Many of them need vote by mail. The folks who are less able than others, our tribes, you know, that are, you know, living in very dispersed part of the state, folks in rural Arizona. So it's, you know, it's obviously outrageous, and he's just way out of the mainstream. He's a very right-wing candidate, and you know, I think that's just not what we need. What we need is an attorney general who will be solutions oriented, who will just walk in every day, like I did when I was a corporation commissioner. And you know this, Bill, because you know about mm-hmm. our time on a corporation commission, you know, who will walk through those doors every day with one thing on her mind, and that's, how do I do what's in the public interest? How do I solve problems for people? You know, how can we address the fentanyl crisis in Arizona? How can we preserve our water supplies so future generations can continue to live here? How can we prosecute consumer fraud better? The current attorney general diverted millions of dollars away from consumer fraud prosecutions and put it in a very highly politicized political unit called the Federalism Unit that really was just designed to get him on Fox News. And we just don't need that. We don't need an attorney general who's core mission is trying to get on cable news.
You know, and your background, certainly teaching at the Sandra Day O'Connor College of Law up at ASU, and I think you've been real involved with sustainability at ASU's School of Global Sustainability. I mean, if there ever yeah. was a time, with Arizona now at the crossroads, this situation with sustainability with water in the state, this is a game changer.
It really is. It's time that we had an attorney general who actually took an active role in negotiating the Colorado River water supplies for Arizona. We need an attorney general who will put an end to these sweetheart water deals like the one that I'm out here in La Paz County talking about, where we're giving water away for free to a Saudi-owned corporation so they can grow alfalfa. You know, that's happening right now under our noses, right under Mark Brnovich's nose, right under the current governor's nose. They've allowed it to happen. And at the same time, we're being cut. Our water supplies on the Colorado River are being cut by 21%, Bill. So, you know, we just need an attorney general who is going to be an independent watchdog for the people of Arizona and who won't stand by and let this kind of stuff happen. We can't. We're a growing state. And it's great that so many people want to move here. It's great that we're growing like we are, but we also have to do so in a way, but we won't be able to do so if we keep, you know, allowing these kinds of things to happen as they are right now. So we need elected officials who really want to do the job that they're elected to, and not, you know, use it as a platform or a springboard to something else.
Did you say you were in a community called Vicksburg, Arizona?
Yes.
I have never heard of that. Never heard of that town.
Well, you'll see it. It's right off of the I-10 as you're headed toward the California border, and it's in La Paz County. And this is where the Saudis have set up operations, farming operations, and they're growing alfalfa. They're shipping it back to Saudi Arabia because they've depleted their water supplies. And the state of Arizona is giving them the water for free. And when
what?
I'm attorney general, yeah, I know, it's outrageous. When I'm attorney general, we're going to put an end to that lease. We're going to cancel that lease. And we're not going to be giving our water supplies for free to frankly, any foreign-owned corporation. I mean, we just can't, as a state, afford to be doing that. And that's the kind of thing that I'm going to be doing for the state of Arizona when I'm attorney general. But you're absolutely right. We're in the midst of a mega drought right now, and we can't afford to be making these foolish decisions that are hurting our state and hurting the people of La Paz County. I'm out here, you know, near a church where their wells have been dewatered. They've lost the ability to provide their own water service because of this mega farm owned by Saudi Arabia.
Well, it hasn't gotten a lot of publicity down here. I'm really glad you brought that up.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Chris Mays, where can people find out more about the campaign?
Thanks, Bill. Well, folks can see us at chrismays.com. It's chrismays.com. You also start to see some television commercials about the campaign, but join us at chrismays.com.
Okay, thanks, Chris.
Thanks, Bill. It's great to talk to you again.
Thank you very much. Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. That is our favorite bakery in town, and you'll see me very often up at Mona's. Saturday and Sunday, I pop in. Breakfast is served at 7 and starting at 7 on Sunday morning. And then Tuesday through Saturday, Steve and the team open the doors at 6:30 and get things rolling. They're open right now for lunch. And if you'd like to take a look at the menu, you will be further tempted by just thinking about what's in the bakery case. This will really do it for you. All the beautiful color pictures of everything on the menu at monasdanishbakery.com. Again, they're at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Coming up next in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio, Mr. Shelley Fishman is with me. Wow, is this a repeat of last Tuesday? Kinda is. We'll talk to Shell right after this. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops, craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rialto River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Shelley Fishman is a financial consultant in private practice in Tucson, Arizona. The views expressed during this segment are his own and don't necessarily represent those of this station or of Bill Buckmaster Communications. Contact Shelley through buckmastershow.com or at shelleyfishman.com.
Let's welcome now Shelley Fishman. Hey, Shelley, how are you?
I'm miserable, Bill. How are you?
Well, you know, it's Tuesday. No, I know you're fine, but, you know, you look at these numbers.
We're down almost 400 points. We've been down all day.
I get it. You know, the run-up, these once-a-month rate increases, I get it. But at some point, when is this going to be baked in?
Well, you know, the market would like to know that. And we'll hear from the Fed chair, Jay Powell, tomorrow.
Well, I hope it's not a long hear from him. I just hope it's not a very long speech.
Well, the problem that we're having right now, I think, is the market is finally convinced that the Fed is going to singularly
have a
focus on inflation, that there will not be a balanced approach. The Fed's job is primarily inflation and employment, and those two, regulating those two things very often pull in opposite directions, but we haven't heard too much from Jay Powell about the fact that raising interest rates to control inflation will have a negative effect on employment. We just hear that he believes his primary job right now is to get inflation under control.
I wish President Biden would have a little heart-to-heart with Mr. Powell.
Well, of course, the Fed is supposed to be independent.
I know.
But, you know, come on over, have a hamburger, and let me tell you how things are, Jay. So I know that there are issues that get raised in terms of how the Fed does what it does and why it's supposed to work that way. And so rather than get into the weeds on this, I would recommend an article in today's Washington Post by Rachel Siegel called "Why Does the Fed Raise Interest Rates?" And it really is a very good, clear-cut explanation of the theory behind how interest rates, if they are raised, will eventually bleed their way through the economy by lowering demand. Now, in its most basic way of thinking about macroeconomics, it is the study of supply and demand. And when those things get out of balance, and they appear to be out of balance right now, you can have deflation or inflation. So if there is too little supply or too much demand for the supply that exists, what happens is rates tend to go up. Now, I'm saying rates tend to go up, and that's the way this article kind of posits it. But rates don't tend to go up, Bill. People raise rates. Mm-hmm. What they do is they see that there is a lot of demand for their product, and they think that is a good excuse, a good reason to do what they're supposed to do for their shareholders and raise profits. Now, that said, you know, that's a very simplistic way of thinking about it. Rates do not need to, or prices do not need to go up just because supply tightens, but it has in the past, and it looks like it's doing that now. The market is seeing this, but what the market is seeing, I think, too little of, is sincere efforts on the part of those people who regulate our economy, and it's more than the Fed, it's the Treasury Department, it's the Council of Economic Advisors, etc., to take a look at the supply side and decide that a lot more can be done to help the Fed by increasing supply. And that's the piece, I think, where Powell might feel, I don't want to make excuses for the man, but he might feel that he's out there alone. Because what we're seeing is, you know, some nice inflation stuff from the administration and from Congress. We've done some stuff about drug prices. But quite frankly, there is a lot more that our government can do in a crisis to increase the supply of goods and products, and service, goods and services. You know, one of the things that immediately gets affected by raising rates, interest rates on the benchmark, you know, interest rate that the Fed uses, is that bank rates for interest go up.
Yep.
And mortgage rates go up. And mm-hmm. what we're seeing now is that a 30-year mortgage has now peaked above 6%. We haven't seen that till, you know, since like 2014. And rates were in the recent past down at 3%. That has a stultifying effect on people's ability to finance or refinance their homes. When the market sees and forecasts that that is going to continue over a longer period of time, then the people in charge of building homes say, well, maybe we need to slow down a little bit. And oh, by the way, lumber costs are up and, mm-hmm. and you know, the cost mm-hmm. for fuel is up.
And the brakes
so,
come on.
And the brakes come on. So one of the things that the federal government can certainly do is, kind of kill two birds, three birds, four birds with one stone. Take a look at the housing shortages, some of which were caused by COVID, by the way, as people wanted to buy homes away from big cities. But also take a look at the need for low-income housing and take a look at the need for improving the condition of housing around the country and do more in that respect. And now I get on my high horse having to do with a national service corps, because where are you going to find people to do that? Well, lots of people who want to do that. Some of them are in Cape Cod mm-hmm. and you know, have been shipped to Martha's Vineyard. And we have plenty of people who are skilled and can do some of these jobs and can use the increased ability to work in our community without taking jobs from anybody else to find ways of becoming permanent citizens, pay taxes, and not be a burden on society. So that's one thing a National Service Corps can do. But also there are other things. I mean, the president could lift the tariffs that Trump imposed on certain goods from China, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
One of the reasons cars are so expensive is, number one, it costs more to get a car loan mm-hmm. because interest rates are up. But we also see that there's a shortage of supply in the automobile market because of chips and the ability of manufacturers to import those chips or put those chips in the cars they manufacture. As a result, the price of cars is up. People rely on transportation. And by the way, it's not just new cars. When new cars become more expensive, guess what people buy?
Used cars.
They buy used ones. And as a result, used car dealers raise their prices. So I believe that if we had a productive partnership, Bill, between Jay Powell and Janet Yellen at Treasury, and the President's Council of Economic Advisors, and we really articulated a comprehensive plan to work the supply side of this problem in addition to the demand side of this problem, that we would see a lot more confidence, and here I get back to the markets, mm-hmm. on the part of investors that this problem was going to be controlled in the near term.
So what about the next benchmark? Will it take the next inflationary report for the market to settle down at least temporarily?
So what we think we're going to see, and I have been wrong about this in the not-too-distant past, what we think we're going to see is that retail prices for the second quarter will be adjusted such that the inflation rate, the retail inflation rate will be adjusted down a little bit. I think what we're going to see is the wholesale rate, which, by the way, got no press last week, mm-hmm. did come down in August by mm-hmm. 0.1%. Mm-hmm. So the retail rate went up 0.1%. The wholesale rate went down, and everybody said, woe is me.
Yeah.
I don't get that.
No, I don't get it
but
either.
But okay. So if the second quarter inflation rate is adjusted down, we begin to see some early indications that the August rate and the September rate are coming under control. I think that will be a sign to the markets that we are not going to get pushed into recession. If, on the other hand, those rates stay stubborn and the people involved in regulating those rates through the demand side, in other words, the Fed, if they keep on sending out clear messages that there is going to be pain in the future and they are going to inflict it because that's their primary job, then I believe this bear market, which I think we're in a bear market right now, just barely, but we're there, is going to continue for a while. And that pain is a pain for the people who are investors. It's going to be pain for the people who need jobs because as companies see the demand coming down, they cut back. And what do they cut back on? They cut back on investing in new plant, and they cut back on employees. This is not good. I hate it.
All right, Shelley Fishman, thank you very much. Shelley, I hope you have a great rest of the week.
I hope I can smiling, get more, buddy. More okay. optimistic.
There
Bill.
You go.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade. Using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana. Plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
Arizonans are facing big challenges these days. Rising costs at the grocery store, the gas pump, and the pharmacy. That's why Mark Kelly is doing whatever it takes in Washington to bring down costs, even when it means standing up to his own party. The son of two police officers, Mark grew up in a house where money was tight. He knows what it means for Arizonans when everyday items cost more. Thanks to Mark Kelly's work, Medicare will finally negotiate down prescription drug prices. Less money spent at the pharmacy means more money stays in your pocket. Mark is leading the effort to cut red tape for truckers and ease supply chain issues. And he's pushing for more domestic oil production to bring down gas prices. Because Mark knows that for a lot of people, every little bit counts right now. Senator Mark Kelly, looking out for Arizona, fighting for us.
I'm Mark Kelly, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Mark Kelly for Senate.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The way we vote in Pima County is changing. Are you ready? The League of Women Voters of Greater Tucson invites you to visit ReadySetVoteTucson.com to learn about new vote centers for easier in-person voting, new voting districts, and changes to the early voting list. Get ready to vote at ReadySetVoteTucson.com. Brought to you by the League of Women Voters of Greater Tucson. That's ReadySetVoteTucson.com. Get ready to vote.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary. Home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
The
Nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Once a quarter here on the program, we focus on one of Arizona's most important resources. I believe it's the most important and seemingly getting more important by the day. That's water. Arizona Water Quarterly is presented by the Central Arizona Project, Your Water, Your Future. With me in studio, our friend Karen Caesar, Pima County's representative on the Central Arizona Water Conservation District Board. Folks can learn more about CAP at cap-az.com. Hey, Karen, how are you?
I'm doing great, Bill. How are you doing?
Doing real well. Thank you for asking. I'll tell you, it's a day, rarely a day goes by that there is not something on the front page or in the news media about the situation on the Colorado River. Let's begin with your take. What's up?
Well, it is. It's certainly true. There's been a lot of media these days. And although it was, you know, we thought it was intense last year, but this year it is a serious situation and it warrants serious attention. And even though it may seem at times like the media must be sensationalizing things a bit, you know, we have to say the reporting's been pretty accurate, and that's not necessarily good news.
So, Karen, where are we right now?
Well, here's where we're at. First of all, it's kind of a two-part answer. First, in mid-August, the Bureau of Reclamation announced that Lake Mead will operate in its first ever Tier 2A shortage condition for 2023, and that's based upon the projected elevation of Lake Mead at the end of this year. For Arizona, that means that we're going to take an additional 800,000 acre foot reduction for a total mandatory cut of 592,000 acre feet. It's about 34% of our CAP's normal supply, so we're losing about a little over a third of our normal supply, a little over 21% of Arizona's entire Colorado River supply, and that equates to about 9% of Arizona's total water use. So almost 10% of our whole state's water use is going to be reduced. And this is significantly more than any other state is doing. And this is on top of the 800,000 acre feet we've already contributed to this year alone.
So you've talked about the Bureau of Reclamation, the commissioner kind of laying down that challenge to conserve an additional 2 to 4 million acre feet. So is this Tier 2A shortage in response to that?
Yeah. If only. No, unfortunately, it's not. The Tier 2A shortage declaration was made in accordance with the 2007 guidelines for the Colorado River operations and the Drought Contingency Plan, or the DCP, which you know, hopefully mm-hmm. your listeners will remember we talked about extensively in 2018 and 2019. So this was expected and we were prepared. We can project. But what we thought would happen at the same time would be an additional announcement that addressed the 2 to 4 million acre feet of additional conservation. In addition to that shortage declaration. But despite meeting for almost, 2 months every day, the 7 Colorado River Basin states could not come up with a plan that everybody could agree on, a consensus plan. And Arizona tried. I got to tell you, we left it out. You know, we left it all out on the field there. We tried to come up with proposal after proposal. But unfortunately, none of those were accepted. And so that part of the challenge has not been addressed yet.
So what does it mean now for the Colorado River season system?
Well, the Tier 2A shortage that we will be in is not nearly enough to stabilize the system. And as I said, it relies on Arizona taking the lion's share of all the reductions. We cannot take more out of the lake than is flowing in and expect the lake and the system to survive. This is where it's the serious part. CAP and the state of Arizona have taken the vast majority of the reductions to support the system, and they've been both mandatory and voluntary reductions dating back to 2014. So we're going almost 10 years, or going 8 years into this of trying to help. We've contributed the equivalent of 37 feet of elevation in Lake Mead, far more than any other state. And if I sound like I'm blowing our horn, I am. But despite having done so much, we still came to the table willing to do more, but now only if the other basin states were willing to join us.
So what's the ultimate solution here, Karen?
Well, I'm not sure what the ultimate solution is. I wouldn't be sitting here, as they say. If I had the answer, I wouldn't be sitting here.
Right.
I'm not sure anybody does at this time. But I can tell you that Arizona, as I said, cannot solve this problem of this magnitude alone. It's going to take a basin-wide and international approach. Let's remember, Mexico also shares some Colorado River water. To be successful. So we need a plan that is going to include mandatory and equitable participation from all the water users across the basin. And if the other states are unwilling or unable to come to an agreement, we believe the federal government must take swift action to save the Colorado River from collapse. And I don't say this lightly. We are in a situation where leadership is needed. Consensus ideally needs to be reached, but things are getting real, as they say.
Yeah, we're at the reality here of the Tier 2A shortage. So I want to hear what this means for the CAP.
Yeah, so the Tier 2A shortage, and again, all this information and the amount and reductions and fabulous infographics are available on our website. But as we've discussed, with the Tier 2A, there's no longer any water in our agricultural pool. So our farmers have lost all their water, which they are we're aware of and are prepared for. But now we start to nip into something called the NIA water, and some of our municipal and private water customers will see a small reduction in some of their water deliveries and their ability, and up to a 7% reduction in our tribal water supplies. So it's starting to nip into our higher priority water users. And that's something that the DCP was intended to forestall, not avoid, but forestall. So we've actually, it sounds weird, but we thought it was going to be worse. We thought there might be even a deeper level of shortage in 2023. So given the Tier 2A shortage this year, we're making sure all our customers know that this is a transition year, and all of our customers need to be prepared, for the future for greater reductions, possibly even later in 2023 and definitely in 2024 and beyond. So we're all preparing to change our plans and adjust to the reduced water.
Yeah, you know,
volumes.
It is serious, but you guys and your quarterly visit here, we've been talking about this for years. It's not like this problem got off the bus yesterday.
Right. No, exactly. And that goes back to, but sometimes, it's real easy to not pay attention.
Sure.
We are all busy with our daily lives, and there's a lot of stuff going on. And so it's very much understandable if the general public wakes up and suddenly feels like this is something new. And it's important, again, to say that we've been taking action since 2014 to protect these lake elevations and doing things to forestall this situation, all the while crossing our fingers and hoping for, good snowpacks. But we know that we are in a, hotter, drier, situation.
Sure.
We're into a 20 plus year mega drought, and these things are not just
the new reality.
And you don't flip a switch, and even 1 or 2 years doesn't change it. So we're working on additional efficiencies in water, reuse, augmentation of water supplies. There's a lot of moving parts that can help the situation. And we've talked about some of these on the show, and we're going to continue our conversations about those.
Well, the monsoon isn't going to save us.
No, we love our monsoons.
Yeah.
I love having we've had some fabulous rain here in the Tucson area. Even the Phoenix area has seen some good rain. The thing is, and we say all the water here in Southern Arizona doesn't really contribute dramatically to the elevations in Lake Powell or Lake Mead. But it does help when we get, when we get water here, it does reduce demand, and then reduced demand does reduce the water taken from Lake Mead. So, we can enjoy our monsoons and really, like I said, I would say take advantage of the free water from the sky. If you're into water harvesting, this is the time where you really can help, our sustainable environment and our green infrastructure by building in water harvesting and taking advantage of that locally, reducing our demand. Therefore, more water can get left in Lake Mead, which does help everybody. But we're still dependent on the Rocky Mountains and the snowfall up there for our major water in the reservoirs.
What's this I hear about a CAP trail?
Well, you know, some other things. In addition to all the water planning and management, CAP, you know, as you know, it's a 336-mile system that comes from the Colorado to here to Tucson. And we are partnering with a lot of the agencies and jurisdictions that we go through to create a trail so people can go along there and enjoy that. Last year, we dedicated 8 miles up in Marana that goes from Tangerine to the Pinal County line. It's a non-motorized recreational trail for walking, jogging, equestrians, cycling. So we are getting cooler. It will get cooler. And it's a good time to get out and enjoy the vistas and also get a little exposure to this wonderful piece of infrastructure we have, which is the CAP Canal.
I remember you mentioning the trail dedication before.
Yeah, we last October, and now, you know, it's really about just reminding people that we're working with our, you know, and collaborating with our partners and helping the different jurisdictions work with the Bureau of Reclamation to get all the agreements in place to have a safe and enjoyable trail system along the Central Arizona Project.
So collaboration has been a real key, hasn't it?
Yeah, you know, up and down the ladder, we're collaborating locally, collaborating with our partners, and of course, Arizona is always trying to collaborate with our neighbors in our basin states on solving these larger water solutions. So, you know, it's something that we try to use. It's so much better if everybody can come together and come up with a solution that everybody can support.
Any closing remarks, Karen Caesar?
Well, thank you. Just a couple things. Just to remind your listeners that you can sign up for knowyourwaternews.com. You can get to that through the CAP website. You can get to your inbox up to the minute CAP Water News. And just remember that your elected CAP Board of Directors, of which I'm one of 15, is working very hard to ensure our water security and water future for Arizona. And our next meeting will be here in Pima County, October 6th. So once a year, we come and meet here in Pima County. Details on our website, but these meetings are open to the public. So if anybody wants to not make the trip to Phoenix and see the board in action, I invite you to come to our meeting.
And Karen, I do have an extra minute. So
I
can actually talk a little bit more with you about this board. So perhaps you could explain how this board that you have been on now for how many years?
8 years
now. 8 years. How does this work and what's it all about?
I appreciate that. The CAP is governed by an elected board of directors. There's a total of 15 members, four of which come from Pima County here, one from Pinal, and 10 from Maricopa County. We serve 6-year terms, unpaid, and we run in a staggered election. So the Pima County election won't be coming around for another 4 years. This year, we're going to have 5 seats up in Maricopa County, and I know we'll have some new board members because some of our current board members are not running again, so we'll have some open seats. We meet monthly. We, like any other elected body, our meetings are open to the public. You can live stream them through our website. You can contribute comments through electronic blue cards, and we set all the policy rates, budgets, what we're doing with taxes, anything that has to do with the Central Arizona Project is governed by this board. And, you know, it's just it's a great place to see democracy in action and your elected water leaders in action at the CAP board.
You said earlier in the interview that you guys had really been prepared for even a more drastic situation.
We try to, you know, again, it's
you kind of look at, I'm sure, like any prudent board, you look at a worst case scenario.
We have to. And so it's, you know, it's the prepare for the worst, hope for the best, and looking at projections of where we think Lake Mead is going to be. There's a lot of hydrology. There's a lot of great engineering and science that can really predict very accurately the lake elevation. We thought there might be deeper cuts this year. And so with a little bit of help, we're pleasantly surprised. We're only in a Tier 2A shortage. But all this is, like I said, we meet monthly, we get reports on the lake monthly, and we're trying to figure out what we can do now, what we need to do working with our basin state partners and the federal government and Mexico to ensure that we are leaving the water in the lake that is needed to, again, ensure that the system is healthy and will not collapse. And that's a scary word to say in the context of the mighty Colorado River. But, you know, everyone is, you know, we definitely all have the same goal in mind and we're all working toward that end. But again, every state has got their own water allocations, and they've got their own stakeholders, and so it's not necessarily an easy solution. But when we do come to a solution, I know that it's going to benefit everybody in the Colorado River Basin and most importantly, the Colorado River.
Karen, we're going to take a break right here. I might have a quick question for you after the break, if that's okay.
Yeah, that's fine.
All right, let's take a break right here. It's the Buckmaster Show in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studios. Be right back.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show and the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. We love Green Things, that beautiful 13-acre site, 3384 East River Road. They are open daily. Their website, greenthingsaz.com, and their sister business, zocalovillage.com. Also, support comes from our friends over in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. We send so many of our listeners over to that beautiful area of the Land of Enchantment. It's kind of the southwest part of New Mexico. So many people grew up in Tucson and say, I've never been over to Silver City. Well, they go over there. It's about a three-hour drive, and they always come back, and they say the same thing. I had a great time hiking in the Gila National Wilderness, just kind of hanging out in a beautiful area in New Mexico. Their website is southwestnewmexico.org. Only got about three more minutes here on the show, and I kept Karen Caesar over for a little additional time because this whole water story is such a big deal. And Karen, for folks that don't know, is the Pima County representative on the Central Arizona Water Conservation District Board. And Karen, again, there are how many members on the board?
Our board is 15 members total.
Okay.
And four of us come from Pima County. So we represent, like I said, we act as a board, but you know, there are definitely four very well-qualified and very active board members representing the folks down here.
All right. As you said in our conversation in the previous segment, you all are viewing 2023 as a transition year. Okay, we're in this Tier 2A situation. Is there like a Tier 2B?
Yes.
How does this work?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. I appreciate having an opportunity. I'm going to try to paint the verbal picture.
Go ahead.
And I will again direct people to our website where we have so many infographics that really clearly explain all this. But the tier, starting with Tier 0, Tier 1, Tier 2A, Tier 2B, we actually have CD. We have some other Tier 2s before we get into the dreaded.
I hope we don't get down.
No, we don't want to get to Tier 3. That's
no,
what.
No.
The tiers relate to elevations, the water elevations in Lake Mead, which are established at the end of the calendar year. So the reason when the August 24-month study is so important is that's the time we're done with the snow melt, we're done with all the runoff. Pretty much they're able to model what the lake is going to do for the rest of the year.
Right.
So it's not like we wake up in December and then boom, we have to deal with whatever tier we're in. So
right.
We have a few months lead time. So as the lake elevations go down, the tiers are identified. And like I said, we were in Tier 0 for the longest time where the elevation was at 1090. So that's 1090 feet above sea level. Our Tier 2A elevation, in Lake Mead equates to 1,050 feet.
Okay. So
we've dropped 40 feet in between Tier 0 and Tier 2A. If you remember, I said we've helped put 37 feet in the lake.
Yeah.
So that 1050 would theoretically be, 37 feet lower had we not done everything we've done to date. So this goes back to all the actions we've already done to stave off this. As we go lower and in Lake Mead, we get into a Tier 2B. The next big tier drop. Is going to be a Tier 3, which is at 1,025 feet.
Yeah.
At that point in time, our high priority water users are really seeing severe cutbacks to their water. We're trying to avoid that. So the tiers and the lake elevation, like I said, they just relate to each other and they direct the policy and the amount of water that we need to, try to keep in the lake.
Good. Karen Caesar, thanks for clarifying that. And again, the website is full of information. CAP-AZ.com.
You got it.
All right. Karen, thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill. You have a great day.
All right. That's going to wrap it up for the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of Karen and John, engineering and producing the show on the other side of the glass, Bill Buckmaster saying, do it again in 23 hours. Have a great afternoon.